Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circle on July 25th. It's so nice to see the faces coming in. How fun it is to see you all. My name is Terry Mason. I am a member of the board of the Peace Alliance, and our co-facilitators today are Liz Gannon-Graydon, who is on our board, and Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead. And the Peace Alliance we've been holding these Hope Story Circles since March, and we're going to continue at least through August. And then we'll decide if there's a desire to continue beyond that. The Peace Alliance, for those of you who are unaware, our mission is to empower civic action toward a culture of peace. And what these Hope Story Circles have provided are a way to share our emerging stories during this time of such uncertainty and change, as we're all navigating through very unfamiliar waters. And we've had special guests, and today we have a wonderful special guest. Catherine DeMonte is joining us today. And she has a wonderful story to share, but first I just want to introduce you to her a little bit. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to be here.
It's so nice to see you. Thank you. Catherine, you are a psychotherapist. You're also an author, and you've also created Abundance Circles. Mm-hmm. Those are the three big threads I just want to touch on. What drew you to psychotherapy?
I knew in high school I wanted to be a psychotherapist. I took a psychology class because I was interested in it, and that only furthered my love of psychology. But I think the reason I was interested in it was because the adults I liked best in my teen years were all therapists. They were really warm and accepting and kind and wise. And I was drawn to them. And I think that was probably why I got interested in becoming one when I think back on it.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, right? I mean, what we're drawn to, we want to become.
That's true.
And your book, the title of your book is such fun. It's Beep, Beep, Get Out of My Way. Can you tell us more about that book and what was important about telling that story and writing that book?
I got the title because it's based on the circles that I've created that are for people who want to call in more of whatever it is that's been missing for them, whether it's money or a partner or whatever it was for them that had been missing. Mm-hmm. And when I got that thing that had been so coveted and so wanted and so out of reach, but finally showed up, I noticed they were unstoppable. And that's how I got the title. But the very title came to me when I was trying to put something away and my two dogs were underfoot. And I literally, this was before I had the title, but I knew that I wanted to have the subtitle of Seven Tools for Living Near, I guess I didn't even have that. I wasn't quite sure of the title at this point, but my two dogs were in the way. I was trying to put something in a dresser, and I went, beep, beep, get out of my way. And I thought, oh, that's the title.
That's wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. And the subtitle does reflect the abundance circles, right? It's all about having tools to achieve what you want.
Yeah. Seven tools for living your unstoppable life. Because the women who got those things were lit up and on fire. I say women because at the time it was a women's group, but now it's open to all gender. But they just were so lit up when they called in what it was. Sometimes it was a move to a different place because they weren't happy where they lived, and magically a job offer would come to that very city and things like that. And they were so excited to be in the place they loved or with a partner they loved, or to not be so financially restricted. You know, it just felt like they were lit up and on fire and unstoppable.
And you just mentioned that now the circles are both men and women. Are you doing them virtually?
I am doing them virtually. Yeah. I have an online circle going, and there's a link to it on my website for attending the online ones, and they work just as well. People mm-hmm. are getting just as close and calling in what they want.
That's terrific. Yeah, we'll definitely put that link in the chat so that if anybody's interested, they can check it out.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Are they coming up soon?
Yes, there's one coming up the beginning of August, the first week of, no, I'm sorry, the end of August, to a Friday night offering or a Sunday night group, and each meet for eight sessions in a row, and we go over the tools that I found made a big difference in my clients' lives when I would mention them here and there, these different things. But then when I put them together and then we do them in a group where people are speaking it out loud, it really makes it a lot more powerful for calling in what you're wanting to attract or manifest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having groups work on things together is always a powerful thing, just as we do with these hope story circles, of having these groups of people come together to share their stories and to share what's going on. So I find a lot of power in these hope story circles, and I'm very gratified always when I see people joining.
I bet you are. It's powerful to share stories, and I appreciate the work that you guys are doing to share stories.
Yeah,
it's important.
So I think I'm gonna hand off to you, Yelena, to start us off with the meditation, and then Catherine will come back to you for the story that we want to tell today.
Okay, lovely. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Terry. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you.
Morning, good afternoon, good evening to you all present on this call, and hello to all of you listening to this call as a podcast. Let's take a moment and give ourselves permission to pause and arrive fully to this moment. Let's inhabit and claim this moment and just mark it with presence and awareness, allowing your body to settle and inviting your mind to follow. I invite you to close your eyes or gaze down and just take a few breaths that feel nourishing to you at this moment. As you start to gather your attention to this moment, to now, noticing what is happening in your body, heart, mind, and spirit. What is showing up? How does your emotional, physical, and mental landscape look at this moment? And as things bubble up to your awareness, notice if there is something unexpected rising up to the surface. Something that is easily dismissed, skipped over, rejected, or unwelcomed. It can be a fleeting thought, a feeling, or a particular attitude of the mind. And if nothing unexpected arises, it is really tempting for our mind to search for it. And the invitation is to let go of that seeking temptation. Maybe letting go is what is unexpected for you. And just taking a moment to be with that unexpected guest, to see if you can perhaps pull a chair for it, let it sit next to you, and fully welcome it. let it for a moment uncover itself to you through acknowledging it, being with it, and offering your acceptance. Taking a few more moments with it. When you're ready, just taking a moment to part with it, offering it gratitude. Coming back to breath, the soles of the feet on the ground, and opening up to old, unexpected, awaiting us in Catherine's story. Welcome, Catherine.
Wow, that was so beautiful. Thank you so much. I see I'm the only unmuted one here. Is it my, should I jump in and start sharing the story? Okay, thank you. That was so beautiful. It reminds me of a Derek Walcott poem about welcoming ourselves in, opening the door to ourself, sitting down and sharing a conversation and a dinner with our abandoned self. That was just so beautiful. Thank you so much. So the reason I wanted to share this story was because I think it's really important to know that we are carrying stories. It feels like the truth when we're carrying them and we don't know that there's another side or another alternative narrative to the belief system we're carrying around, and that we attract things into our life based on that belief, that faulty belief often. It can be limiting or a faulty story. And my particular story that I'm really glad I finally sat down was I was an unexpected guest. So I really appreciated your words, Yelena. My mom and dad had a three-year-old when they got pregnant again, and unknown to them, my mom was carrying twins, and I'm one of those twins. And this was long ago, and before there were ultrasounds and things for pregnant women, and my sister Becky was born. And my mom felt her stomach and felt like there was still another baby, and that was me. And she told the nurse that, and the nurse felt my mom, but the doctor argued with my mom that there wasn't another one. And that's also part of the story my mom retells when she says that she not only wasn't expecting twins, but the doctor didn't believe her. For some reason, that piece seems really important in the retelling. And the nurse and the doctor started to argue a bit and said, I think she's right. I think there is another one. And so 9 minutes later, I came out, which would be fine, except that my mom told that story a lot. She told it every birthday, and she even brought it up to people in really like places where it didn't fit, which to me means that that story was very up for my mom. So for example, if my mom and I were out and we saw somebody, for example, if we were at lunch and my mom saw a new mom with a baby, my mom would turn to them and say, you know, when I had a baby, And she's like, well, I had this one and I wasn't expecting it. It just would come out. It would come out in really random ways. My mom was big on retelling the world that she had twins and wasn't expecting one. And so, but it wasn't said in a way that would also imply, and it was such a pleasant surprise, because she often, no, always would say, and it was so expensive, and it was such a bother, and I'd put one to sleep and the other one would wake up and wake the one I just put down, and it was just so tiring, and we didn't have beds, you know, for you both, and we had to run out and get another crib, you know, just, it was just, sounded laborious and rough to have this unexpected guest. And it got reinforced when like when my older sister would get things like getting to go to camp twice and my twin and I couldn't. And the reason would be, we don't have enough money to send the twins, things like that. So I got the message that I was expensive, not wanted, that I should learn to get by and I should silence my voice. I should not ask for things. I should work for the money, work to make money to buy my own things. I didn't want them to have to buy me clothes, for example. So I got jobs, like babysitting jobs, and as young as junior high school, and always was the only one of the sisters who worked outside the home as a girl to make my own way, because I didn't want to be a bother. I was already a bother, I thought. But that was all running under the radar. I never thought of it that way. I didn't feel like a bother. I just got the message I should not take up too much room. It was more like that. But as an adult and reflecting back on the story, many examples, you know, came to my mind of being too much. I would think of comments my mom made and spent a lot of time in therapy. Disentangling the messages I got that I was in the way. And I think it's really important to know that we carry stories that aren't true about us. There's plenty of room for all of us. We're meant to be here. We're the only one of us here. We're not a mistake. And whatever our limiting stories are, it's important to set them down. So it could be that, like if our dad left our home and married somebody else and never was in touch again, we might have abandonment issues related to that. Or that all people, you know, all men leave, which isn't true. Or if our parents made a lot of money and lost it, we may carry a belief that we have to hoard what we have because money can leave. Things like that just seem true. But when you reflect on them, you know that you've inherited a story that's not your own, or you picked up on their feelings that are theirs but aren't true about you. And so it's good to dismantle the story we've been running with and question it, asking if it's true. And that's my story. That's what I help people look at in the work I do with them.
Beautiful. Thank you, Catherine.
You're welcome.
Yelena, you want to frame for where we're headed next?
Yes. Thank you, Catherine.
You're welcome.
And as we kind of, in our planning meeting yesterday, heard pieces of your story, it really resonated for all of us as how all of our stories are actually being challenged right now in this moment. And even our country's story is challenged deeply.
Yeah.
So as we go into breakouts to share and integrate your story with our stories, I'm inviting all of us to think of, there is the story that we expect, right? But what is the unexpected story to be birthed if we welcome it? With COVID, with unrest, there is so much that is coming forward individually and as a society. So what is That unexpected story that is Bertet, if we welcome it.
Mm-hmm.
And also perhaps sharing a moment when you realize that you are not limited to the stories you have once told yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you tell your story, what is the retelling of that story? So anything that particularly resonated with you with these inquiries or any other inquiry that you can ask yourself as you listen to Catherine's story.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the invitation as we go into our small groups of three. And as you come in, you might just want to take a moment to sit with that story and let it kind of stir up a little bit before you're starting to share. So the invitation is to come in and share and just be mindful of the agreements we have in this space around listening with your heart. So really listening to the other person's story and then speaking from the heart, speaking from your experience, speaking from your own story and saying just enough so that each one of us can share in that space. And also mind the confidentiality. So when we come back, really sharing story that you feel for yourself, but not each other's stories, if there is not permission to do so. So that's an invitation for us as we go in. Terry?
So I'm going to send you into breakout rooms. For those of us who are new to this process, you'll get a little pop-up on your screen that will invite you to join a breakout room. So go ahead and join the breakout room. You'll be in a group of just two or three people so that you can share your own stories based on those ideas that Yelena just provided. I might, because I can see who's where, if somebody's all alone, I might find someone else to join them. So I might send you a second invitation. If you get a second invitation, go ahead and take it. It's a good one. All right. And I'm not going to unmute everybody because I think everybody is automatically unmuted when you go into breakout rooms. The one that I think I will unmute if I can is the phone, because I think phones for some reason don't unmute automatically. So I'm going to set up the breakout rooms now and go ahead and take the invitation. We'll be there about 20 minutes, 15 or 20 minutes. So you'll have some time to share. All right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties that some people experienced on the breakouts. Well, what's alive for people? What would you like to share, those of you who were able to successfully have talking in your breakouts?
If people can either unmute themselves or, because I can't see the whole screen, I'm trying to.
Yeah, feel free to unmute yourself.
Oh, there we go.
Would anybody like to share anything? What's alive for you? What stories did you find emerging? Sure, Barb.
So one thing, one of the stories that I shared in our group was about the genesis of a book that I talked about several weeks ago when I was at this meeting. And the book, this is sort of taking up some time for me, but that's part of what I was talking about. The book is about to come out, and I have put the website for the book in the chat so that if anyone is interested in it, it's an audio book, it's a print book, and it's an ebook, and it will be out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And you can go to the website. The name of the book is Women Peacemakers and What We Can Learn From Them. And the website itself is pretty informative about all the different women in it. So anybody is welcome to go to that website. And if you sign your name on the mailing list, you'll know actually when everything is available.
Hey.
Wonderful.
That's exciting. Congratulations.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Could you come here a second?
There's Deb again.
I was in the middle of hearing. Let's
Okay. Yeah, congratulations. That's a big achievement, Barb.
Yeah.
It was supposed to come out in April, so I've been really practicing patience and persistence right at the same time together.
Beautiful. Now, I can't see everyone once, but I saw David's hand. Did you want to share something, David?
Yeah, the insight I got from my sharing and with Annette is that we are far more connected than we can possibly imagine. There's an interior connection and an external connection that's very powerful if we tune into it.
Interesting story about a woman from Appalachia.
Magic happens.
It just went off.
I love that, David.
So, yeah, we're getting an echo. Okay, bye.
No.
Wow, I know, I like that. Is there anyone else who in your room, I know that some of the rooms had some challenges, but was there anyone for whom they heard or came up for them a story that was really about that idea? Is there an unexpected story or a retelling of a story that if we allow the story into us, we might reimagine this moment or enter this moment in a different way?
Carol, you're unmuted. Did you want to share?
Well, I'm sorry I'm late. I was this morning, but you know, we get stories from children all over the world. The Peacemaker Corps and its festival, PSGFF, is celebrating the UN 75th birthday this year. I don't know if anybody here even knows that, because COVID has completely hijacked all the things that we wanted to do. But if you're interested in hearing stories or seeing in the little videos that we've been collecting over the last 7 years at Peacemaker Corps, I would love all of you to take a look at it. We have an app, PSGFF, on your iPhone. All the films are in the cloud. And what we're hoping is that we get films just like from groups like you that are interested in ways to find peace in the world. And ask your friends and family, it's free to send a 1 to 5 minute video about, I really want to know what's going on in these young minds with there's so much death around them. It's very different. It's very unusual. You know, maybe you have a grandfather who dies, and I've been getting stories from people who say, you know, I don't know what to tell my children. I don't know how this is going to affect them. How is it when you don't have any kind of socialization with your own age categories? And so those stories need to be told, because it gets out of their system and at least they feel like they've done something. And because we have this app, every child can see their film by downloading it free off their phone. That's my 2 cents in a very difficult time.
It sounds like a wonderful platform to offer the kids.
Peacemaker Corps has been around for 20 some years, but we did a whole COVID this year. We called to action as, you know, what's going on in your brain?
Yeah.
What's happening with you? How similar are you from the kids in Africa and Spain and Brazil and those who are here in the United States? Mm-hmm. And we still have a chance for them to come into our film festival, because it doesn't end, the submissions don't end till November 1st now. And we're going to do a virtual event to celebrate the last of the UN 75th on the 15th of December, which I'm putting together right now, not ever having done them worldwide. But I do have some friends at Tube Filter that do the streamies every year, so hopefully they've agreed to produce the events. So that all I'm doing right now is call to action. So that's what we need. We need to hear the stories of youth around the globe and how this pandemic has affected their lives. Yeah. And what next?
That sounds wonderful.
Thank you for letting me speak. I appreciate it.
Thank you for sharing. Itaf, I see you unmuted yourself. Did you want to share something?
I want to share what enlightened me now. This is the first summer since 10 years I am here in my home in the country. I'm supposed to be in America every year with a peace camp. And this is this unexpectation this year for everybody I know. Yeah. But it's strange and really strange to me. Even since 3 weeks I supposed to be fly to America, and I get injured. I felt in the valley, and I am at home suffering with the spy bone, and I don't know. I look in that. What's the message for this? And this is first year I am at home since really 10 years, and the first summer, and they just I take it as how it is, and to heal myself. I have all of this, the pandemic, I didn't get out, and also I didn't do just all the work. I do it in the Zoom, and also connect with people with the Zoom. And yeah, really, I feel connected, and also I'm happy for this meeting and tell a story. Just this is what's come up to me to share. And thank you for this space.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Liz, do you want to start to wrap us up here?
Did you want to share?
I'm just going to share a few links with everybody in the chat. This is the link to the Peace Alliance, the website. Also the link to the Blueprint for Peace, which is something that we're sharing, because it's something that you can take one action and let your elected officials know, both on a state and federal level, that you support policies that are in alignment with our five cornerstones of peace. Also the link to the podcasts. This is a podcast, and all the podcasts are out there along with the monthly calls. And we are a nonprofit, so we always gratefully accept donations. Our donation link is there as well. So I'm really grateful that all of you were here today, and I apologize for the technical difficulties. I have no idea what happened, but hopefully it won't happen again. And Liz, you want to carry us through?
Yeah. I think I'm going to end with a very different story than I had intended to. I really try to, as we weave the stories. Some of you are new to this call. Some of you have been coming week after week. And when we met with Catherine and she talked about the fact that she always felt the unexpected guest, within the last couple of weeks, I received an unexpected guest in my life. And it was a diagnosis of a malignant tumor. And the reason I brought it up was because I'm starting chemotherapy next week. It may affect how I show up on these calls, right? We're going to continue them week after week. And when Catherine told her story, what it brought up for me, as I kind of meditated on last night into today, is what if I don't attach any meaning to the story? What if I don't attach any story to what's going on? What if I just welcome in the unexpected guest, right? And in this moment, so many of us have had our lives turned upside down. And I'm trying to do what everyone else is doing in this moment and just meet the unexpected guest as a welcome guest. And think, what's coming up for me in this moment? How am I going to meet it? How do I not attach? And I look forward to just kind of showing up with you week after week and see how the unexpected guest, kind of expresses on the journey. And David, I was very touched by what you said about meeting with Annette and how connected we are. And it made me just thankful that we show up week after week, and some of us show up each week and have had a good week, and some of us have not. And we've been meeting, when I think about the length of the arc of the journey, even though some of you are coming in for the first time now, we've shared so much from the beginning of the pandemic into the kind of uprisings and feelings that came up around George Floyd. And now we're awakening to kind of where do we move now? And I really loved the powerful, powerful idea that Catherine said about when she shifted from being the unwelcome guest to retelling her story and shifting the story to what if you can welcome in and hold, like how welcome you are as a guest. So I invite us all to kind of move into the week and think as individuals and as a society, as Yelena removed, right? If we all kind of tell one story of where we are and who we are and how we need to move into this moment. But if we could just kind of open to the possibilities of how to hold the story differently without attaching to the story. I like that, right? Without attaching immediately to what the story is. So I'm thankful for this call. It was personally deeply very moving to me. And I invite you all to kind of leave this call and enter your week to say, kind of, what are the unwelcome guests in my life in this moment and how I might detach from the need to attach that story to it in this moment. Yeah, so I want to thank you guys all, and I look forward to kind of journeying with you as the weeks go on.
Thank you, Liz.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for joining us, Catherine.
Appreciate it. You are so welcome. It was my pleasure, truly.
So everyone, feel free to unmute yourself so that you can say goodbye.
Bye. Thank you all.
Thank
Bye,
you,
everybody.
Yeah,
thank
Bye.
You.
Bye. Thank you all. Have a beautiful
Bye.
Week.
Bye.
Liz, I wish you best Bye. Of
thank
luck.
You.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.